Hey man, what's going on everybody? Welcome back to the show. It is a fantabulous Friday morning. It's awesome. If you could, please, I'm sorry, I got a thing going on, allergies, tell you the truth, 10 years ago, I quit smoking, all right, and it was not easy getting to that point, as any smoker will tell you, but Sunday was my anniversary. Sunday was my wedding anniversary, and me and the wife and my in-laws, we went to the casinos, and apparently the casinos don't understand the idea of having a smoking section in a casino is like having a peeing section in a pool. There's no not getting cigarette smoke on you in this building, these buildings, all right? And it's been a long week trying to control my coughing and stuff like that, and trying to work through it and do my podcast, which is doing fantabulous. I love it. I love doing this. This is awesome. So happy. Thanks for all of you who are listening to the show. So if you could, head on down to the show notes right quick. Should be a clickable link to Facebook and probably YouTube, and probably a link back to the podcast. Where else? Something I need to do is, because I'm recording on Anchor, and they distribute to all the other places like iTunes and stuff like that. I need to take those links and every once in a while share them out there to the other places. Like, follow, subscribe, share with a friend. All right, on with the show. The Tao Te Ching. All right, now, kind of scratched the surface in the video as a bit of an introduction to, hey man, look, I'm gonna be doing some of this stuff, okay? How do I say? The Tao Te Ching is, how about this? I think I described it this way before in a previous episode. I'm one of those people who are on the fence, all right? And I like to play both sides. On one side is Buddhism, on the other side is Taoism. With Buddhism feels like, you know, with both, it has an air of here's a way, right? If you don't follow the path, if you don't follow the precepts, follow the Eightfold Path, there's not a punishment. If you don't do these things, if if you don't follow it to the T exactly and pay your tithe and do all these things, if you don't do those things, you're not going to go to hell, right? There are things to be learned, lessons to be learned, experiences to be had. And sometime before the day you're born and the day that you die, you're given all of this opportunity to experience life. Right? And I'm kind of trying to generalize it as much as possible, because, you know, there's 100 different traditions within Buddhism that is just a fuzzy bit off from the rest of them, you know. And I don't want to speak for every tradition, and I'm not a member of any tradition. I read the words and I let it affect me, and I live my life accordingly. So since I've taken no vow, since I've, you know, I don't follow a tradition, I don't really consider myself a Buddhist, nor do I consider myself a Taoist. I just consider myself me, and trying to live my best life accordingly, kind of thing, you know. So with Buddhism, it feels like it leans more towards here's some rules, here's some things that you should do. Here's the path that Siddhartha Gautama took to become an enlightened being, to become a Buddha. And it is within all of us the ability to become Buddhas. There is not the Buddha. And Buddha did not practice Buddhism. Siddhartha Gautama practice a path of release from suffering, I think is how I want to say it. And I dig that. Whenever I first got into Buddhism, I thought Buddha was a god, and people worship their god Buddha. Turns out Buddha's not a god. Buddha never claimed to be a god. Buddha was just a regular dude like me and you, put his pants on one leg at a time. But much like Tony Robbins, much like Tim Ferriss, much like Gary Vaynerchuk, Siddhartha Gautama brought a lot of comfort, brought a lot of release from stress, calmed the anxiety, relieved the tension by helping people think a different way. I want to say a better way, but, you know, that's up for you to decide as far as better or worse. Okay? The eye of the beholder, yes. How do I say? Buddhism felt a little bit more like here's what you got to do. Here's the path. Here's the steps. Follow it. It's cool, it's fun, you'll be happy, you'll be relieved of stress and suffering. Whereas Taoism, on the other side of the fence, leans more towards here's a way of thinking about stuff. Okay? I'm not going to give you the answer. I'm not going to give you the steps. But I'm going to help to program your brain in such a way that you're going to think your way through this, and through life experiences and whatnot, you'll see your path laid out in front of you instead of Buddha's path laid out in front of you. And secretly, don't tell anybody, all right? But that's why I like Taoism better than I like Buddhism. Because I guess everybody could do with a little bit more structure in their life instead of, you know, but then again, you know, what is that structure for? I mean, we're in a society that's built on structure. You know, you're born, you go to school, you do well in school, you graduate from high school, you go to college, you get that piece of paper. There's steps, there's things, there's a path laid out in front of you that generations have built up for you to follow so that you can follow in their footsteps and do better and build up and build up and build up and build up. But in all actuality, in all reality, at least for me and my brain, none of that matters. Cars don't matter. Your money doesn't matter. Big giant houses and the flashy jewelry, none of that stuff matters. What does matter? Love, family, friends, food, water, shelter. Okay? I keep trying to picture this down the road. You know, because I want to get so good at doing primitive skills and wilderness living skills and, you know, ancestral living skills and stuff like that, that I can go to a school and be an instructor. I mean, to me, that's one of my dream jobs. If I ever leave the job that I'm at right now, it's because I've spent the last however many years building up skills so I could go do that instead. Alright? Because that to me puts me that much more in tune with my environment, with the earth, on a micro scale all the way up to a macro scale. And I feel like if I can teach others how to do that, and not necessarily drop out of society and go live out in the woods and that kind of thing, but to take those skills and bring them home and apply them at home as much as possible and see that, you know, having the 2021 Corvette is not necessary. It does not make you the winner. It does not make you better than anybody else. Even the homeless guy with the hair on his face is dirty, dreadlocked, and full of mange. That guy, he puts his pants on just like you. Everybody has the same problems, man. I gotta feed myself. I gotta water myself. I gotta look after my family / community / tribe. I gotta have a roof over my head. I gotta protect myself and my people from the climate, I guess we call it climate, the environment. You know, if it starts raining, you know, sitting out in the rain, letting it rain on you is not exactly the greatest thing for your health, right? It's not awful, I guess. You know, it's like I had an argument with my wife. I was like, every time I'm out in the rain too long, I get a cold. I get sick. And she's like, well, what happens when you take a shower? Well, okay. I get what you're saying there. Rain, shower, water is falling from above and landing on me. But also the shower is like, you know, warm water, hot water. And I'm only in there for like a couple of minutes. And if I gotta work and do stuff and, you know, be out in the rain for too long, and I get too cold and I get a shiver, then, you know, things kind of go downhill from there. And, you know, so like, yeah, you can be out in the rain, but to be out in the rain, you know, too terribly long, you know, there's the rule of three. And is it 3 minutes without air, 3 hours out in the elements? There we go, the elements. That's the word I was looking for, not climate, elements. 3 hours out in the elements. 3 days without water, and 3 weeks without food. And I'm pretty sure I've even heard some people say 3 months without contact, without being around other people. And, you know, it's plus or minus in either direction, you know. I've heard of people, and people have told me that they've gone 4 weeks without food, or they've gone a month and a half without food. You know, it's like, I don't know that I could call you a liar, but I have a pretty basic understanding of physiology and stuff, and I'm pretty sure that's not true, but, you know, I don't know it for fact, so I don't want to call you a liar, you know. But I've also sat there and I've watched somebody hold their breath for 5, 6, 7 minutes plus, you know. So it's anyway. What was I talking about? Rules of three. But anyway, I want to teach people how to be a part of nature instead of apart from nature. Right, I gotta remember to write that down because I keep saying it and I keep forgetting that I want to make a meme or something and pass it around. But that's Taoism feels more like nature. Okay? Nature, to sit out in the woods and to observe the little stuff and the big stuff and the medium stuff and everywhere in between. You see all this stuff. You see there's a balance. You see, and it's kind of why I have a bit of a problem with being a vegetarian. I think deep down, my desire to be vegetarian is more about the way the animals are treated before they make it to my plate. So if I could do something about that, you know, instead of the cow that lives on the CAFO and has a hole open on the side of its, on its side, a hole open to its, one of its stomachs, so that it's forced to eat the food that it doesn't want to eat. Instead of that cow becoming my hamburger, you know what I mean? I'd look into that. I would feel weird going out into the woods with a bow and an arrow and hunting down my prey. But even saying it, it feels right. It feels like the way I'm supposed to be doing things. You know what I mean? Instead of, how do I say it? Instead of there being this massive market with this try not to be too terribly mean about it, but you know, it's kind of one of those things where we've set up the system to align. Like a factory of the cows go in and there's all of this processing that goes on. You know, the cow is born. Moved on down the line, and you know, it's never allowed to live its life, kind of thing. You know what I mean? Like it doesn't know what it's like to be a cow. I've seen videos of people saving cows and taking them from the factory or from the CAFO or wherever they got the cow and taking it to their farm and opening up the trailer, and that being the first time in all of its life its feet have ever touched grass. It spent all of its life on concrete and metal grates and machines and all of this stuff going on. And for the very first time in this animal's life, it's seen the environment that it's supposed to exist in. And to watch these massive creatures bounce around like they're little 5-pound chihuahuas is absolutely amazing. Just the basic level amount of respect for this animal's life. Like, yeah, I'm gonna eat you later on in your life, but I'm gonna make you as happy and as safe and warm and dry and comfortable as I possibly can between now and that time. You know what I mean? That sounds like a pretty happy medium for me. You know, I know the cow would absolutely prefer to not be eaten, and I get that. And at this point in my mental processing, I'm working on it. I'm getting there. We're working on getting chickens and a coop, and I want to get rabbits. I don't know, because they're cute and fluffy and all that, and kind of do a little bit of a foster rescue type of thing, and have a little spot out in the yard for them to live and hang out until we find them another place or whatever, and use their manure as fertilizer for the garden. I can absolutely see there being a homestead with a lot of animals, and those animals being born and dying on that homestead without the threat of becoming food. Well, maybe coyotes and birds of prey, right? They might consider them food, but I consider them to be pets, consider them to be friends, consider them to be, you know, citizens of the earth. So, now that I've spent a half an hour not talking about the subject of this episode, let's move into the Tao Te Ching. Episode 1. I got Star Wars on my brain because it's almost May. And then once it's the 4th, it's May the 4th. All right, May the 4th be with you. All right? Don't forget that. All right. So I'm going to set you on the thing for a second. All right, so the Tao that can be spoken is not the eternal Tao. The name that can be named is not the eternal name. The nameless is the origin of heaven and earth. The named is the mother of myriad things. Thus, constantly without desire, one observes its essence. Constantly with desire, one observes its manifestations. These two emerge together, but differ in name. The unity is said to be the mystery. Mystery of mysteries, the door to all wonders. Alright, so I've not spent a whole lot of time researching what other people think. Right, I've downloaded podcasts and I've listened, and I kind of mulled it around in my brain a little bit and come up with my own version, which, you know, is pretty much how I feel all of these spiritual paths are meant. Yeah, it's called a practice, not perfection. None of us are perfect. We're all practicing, trying to become the best us that we can be. And I'm not gonna lie, as a person who had never read those words before, I have no idea what any of that stuff means. Right? So, but by listening to other people and getting the gist of it and kind of moving from there, right? That first line there, the Tao that can be spoken is not the eternal Tao, right? That one sentence right there, to me, is a lot like how I summarized my spiritual trip with the Golden Rule. Alright? If I got anything out of this book at all, that one sentence was worth it. Alright? The Tao that can be spoken is not the eternal Tao. I don't want to say what that means as if I am some sort of an authority, or I know what I'm talking about, because I'm not, and I don't. the way I understand those words is that the Tao is this energy. The space between everything. We're all just atomic particles that are vibrating at particular level. You know, like the atomic structure of my hand is vibrating in such a way that my hand looks like my hand, and my phone looks like my phone, and my ears look like my ears, and ooh, my back scratcher. My back scratcher looks like my back scratcher. Oh, that's good stuff. I love my back scratcher. All right. How do I say? The Tao is that space in between all of those atoms. You know, because like, you got an atom, and you're like, okay, that's it. That's as small as it gets, right? No, even the atoms are made up of stuff. Protons, neutrons, electrons. That's it, right? No. Break those down further. Also, quarks and neutrinos, and got a whole long list of really cool names for all the stuff. Right. And ultimately, you can go all the way down to where there is no measurable physical mass. The only thing that registers is energy. Which means we're all made up of energy. Everything. You, me, white people, black people, yellow people, pink people, purple people eaters. Watch out! It's a one-eyed, one-horned flying purple people eater! Whatever religion you are, whatever philosophical tradition you follow, whatever planet you live on, whatever solar system, whatever galaxy, whatever quadrant, whatever universe. It's not a universe, it's a multiverse. Made up of the same energy field. Now, that's as far as my brain goes, right? My brain and my ability to wrap it around science and stuff like that, that's pretty much where it stops. I can understand the science up to that, right? But how science explains how you and I look the way we look and how individual we are, I don't get it. I don't understand that. So instead of trying to wrap my brain around it, I try to wrap my heart around it. What I see is you and I are the same. What I do to me, I also do to you. What I do to you, I also do to me. The Tao is that energy between all of the smallest particles. Because there's maybe a couple hundred feet in between me and the next vehicle here. considered just space, that there's nothing there. But there's billions and trillions of things in between me and this next vehicle. There's nitrogen, there's oxygen, there's, you know, all of the stuff that makes up the atmosphere. There's dust. Dust being the dead, dry flakes of whatever. See what I'm saying? But that, to give that stuff a name, even calling it the Tao, takes something away from it. By placing labels on things, is why I'm not too keen on calling myself a Buddhist and calling myself a Taoist or calling myself anything, really. I know it makes communication a lot easier, is why I'm kind of really drawn to the sign language. It's not so much that I'm using words and you know, specific definitions of this is this thing. You know, even if it's a very simplified for me version of American Sign Language, to point at something. And to make the sign to eat. Or make the sign for hungry. I'm hungry. I want to eat that. Okay? It's not dragging all of these words, all of this vocabulary, all of this definition and dictionaries and thesaurus and stuff like that. You're not dragging all of this potential for argument of that's not what it's called. It's not a spaghetti noodle, it's a ramen noodle because it's made a completely different way. Right. Okay, I want noodles. I'm hungry. I would like to eat that. And it's in that simplification, it's in that sentence. The Tao that can be spoken is not the eternal Tao. You've got this great and powerful force, idea, thing, whatever you want to call it. Right? And it's that energy that's between all of the stuff. Everything that has a label put on it. Everything that is called something is made up of this one thing. We're all made up of this one thing. And by calling ourselves humans, it takes us away from the Tao. By calling us earthlings, it's taking us away from the Tao. By calling ourselves wealthy, or white, or black, or male, or female, by calling ourselves all of this stuff, we're being taken away from the Tao. I'm kind of big on conspiracy theories, and by that I mean they worry me. All right. Like the idea that the U.S. government faked an event in order to get us into the Vietnam War, or to start the Vietnam War, however you want to say it. That is true. Okay. And because that is true, you know, it's kind of hard to, it's kind of hard to place your trust in a lot of things now. So you start digging into these rabbit holes and stuff, and they start connecting. You're like, oh man. So, you know, dig myself out of the rabbit hole and try not to get into it too much. There's a conspiracy theory that I've kind of worked up in my head, this idea that we weren't supposed to make it this long. Okay? The idea that our progress, our technology, all of the stuff that we're doing that we find to be so wow, cell phones and fast cars and technology and computers and space travel and stuff, all of that technology and whatnot, we weren't supposed to make it that far. That we were supposed to be like Yoda says, luminous beings are we, not this crude matter. And we're not meant to travel the stars in this crude matter, whether it be our muscular skeletal system or a rocket ship. We're meant to travel the stars on a much more spiritual plane. It's my perception of life thus far. And for me, in order for me to feel more at that level, to be more in tune with the earth, more in tune with my environment, more in tune with less stuff than more stuff. Because the stuff is a distraction. And it feels weird saying it, okay, but kind of mull around in your brain a little bit. Maybe the production of offspring is just a continuation of the cycle of not being able to, like, we're dragging, you know, we're dragging energy from the field away, and we're weakening the Tao. I know it's weird, but it, yeah, weird is me. I am weird. Okay, but that one sentence, okay, putting label on stuff, saying that this is an apple tree. Instead of just being, you know what I mean? It's difficult for me to wrap my brain around my own thoughts here, because it's, you know, it's 44 years of, you know, it's a Cadillac, it's a Chevy. It's a car, it's a truck, it's an SUV, it's a stoplight. And it's not just 44 years of my life, that it's, you know, a generational handing down of experience of this is it, this is how it is. This is, you know, we gotta have the electricity to power the streetlights so the lights come on at night so we can do stuff at night. But our bodies are like, don't do that. Our bodies, our brains, our hearts, our souls, our spirits are like, stop it. Stop being awake at night. You're supposed to be asleep. Go to sleep. Take a nice long nap. Relax. Recharge. Wake up the next morning and live your life. sudden becomes better than this thing. Because this thing's better than that thing, everybody's got to have the thing that's better than the other thing. Like, oh, well, you got that thing, and you think it's better than my thing. Well, here's this other thing that's better than your thing. Now everybody wants this thing. Now I'm going to make a whole bunch of these things, and everybody's going to want it. They're all going to give me money, and they're all going to think that I'm the king, and I'm the most awesome person in the whole wide world, and everybody's going to love me. A steady increase in, like, when Ram Dass went to India and he came back and he brought the teachings of Deep Karoli Baba back with him, and he did his thing and he spread it all around, and he did that for the last 50, 60 years, right? And I didn't know Ram Dass until years after. Not like I know him, but I didn't know about Ram Dass until years after his stroke. Right? Like, they showed me a picture of Ram Dass and told me all these stories about Ram Dass, and I'm looking at this picture going, That's an old white Jewish guy, man. You know, and that, looking back on that just shows me that this one sentence here holds a lot of weight. By putting a label on this guy, I was taking away so much. Like, I completely ignored everything that had been said and everything that I could have learned more over the years from Ram Dass. Because at that point, looking at his picture, all I saw was an old Jewish guy. That to me wasn't what I was looking for. I was looking for the Dalai Lama, but the Dalai Lama who spoke perfect English, right? Because, I don't know, there's a signal loss between my ear and my brain, and I can't understand a lot of what people are saying, and especially if English isn't their first language, right? So I've got to listen to Thich Nhat Hanh over and over and over and over and over and over before I feel like I've got a good grip on what he's saying. And then I asked a question. I'm like, is there somebody who does this Eastern mysticism stuff but speaks English, they're like Ram Dass. Ram Dass speaks English. He's Bhakti Hindu, but, you know, it's kind of one of the bases for Buddhism and, you know, see where it goes from there. You know, like, the old Jewish guy? Yeah. Listen to him. See what he's got to say. And it's like, all right, so finally sit down and listen. And, you know, it's one of those revelations of how stupid we are to allow these labels to decide, you know, right and wrong, good and bad, stuff like that. You know, the Tao that can be spoken is not the eternal Tao. Just by putting Ram Dass in a box, that box of old Jewish guy, I refuse to see the other stuff that was Ram Dass. And that, not gonna lie, it's still weird. But it is way more deep of a thing now. You know, it's weird to look at Ram Dass, Richard Alpert, and see, you know, a mystic. To see somebody on such an enlightened level that, you know, I was even under the impression that it's not going to happen to me in this lifetime because I'm not from Eastern Asia. Okay? It's kind of one of those luck of the draw things. They know what they're doing over there, and I'm going to reincarnate and reincarnate and reincarnate and maybe eventually get reincarnated into one of those areas over there. And then the cycle of samsara will end, and I will be able to experience nirvana, go to the Pure Lands, and become one with the Tao, and return to the galactic consciousness and energy field and whatnot. But now, after having said that sentence over and over and over and over again in my head, the Tao that can be spoken is not the eternal Tao. I can't put labels on stuff. I can't call people stuff because that takes something away from them. There's that potential, that energy that is the Tao, that unknowing, that uncertainty, that limitless possibility that is the Tao. This thing, what is this thing? I don't know what it is. And then once you put a label on it, like back scratcher, people only think of it as a back scratcher. Well, they forget the possibility that it could just be a hook. And I could hook stuff from over there on the other floorboard and bring it over closer to me. Without having to get out of my seat, walk all the way to the other side of the van, grab the thing, I can just sit here in my seat, reach over there with my little back scratcher, scoot it closer to me, and pick it up. Alright. I'm at my delivery here. I know. Chapter 1. I read it all. How about that? we'll get into it some more here in other episodes and whatnot, but right now, I gotta go. Alright, so have yourself a very, very fantastic day. Wish I had some cool stuff to say, but I don't know what to say. Like, namaste and stuff like that. I just don't know. Have a great day. I'll talk to you guys later. Have a great one.